This is September the 7th, chapel service with Dr. John Eddins.
As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? There are a number of family concerns that we want to give our attention to at this time. We rejoice in the birth of Aaron Rebecca to Suzanne and Charlie Wilburn. Let us remember Henry Darnell, the father of Gene Darnell. Henry was in an accident recently, and he's recovering in a hospital in Martin, Tennessee. Let us remember the father of Brad Chapel, Carlton Chapel, who was taken to Raleigh Community Hospital this morning. Let us also remember Mark and Ann Powell, whose daughter Rachel was stillborn at Wake Medical Center. Let us remember the niece of Tom Barden. Tom and Diane have gone to Florida for the memorial service. Let us remember Dr. Archie Nations and Dr. Peggy Nations in the death of Eric recently, Archie's son, Eric. And let us also remember our seminary physician, Dr. Mosley, in relationship to the death of his father on August the 11th. And of course, we want to remember our own president, Dr. Lewis A. Drummond, as he continues to recover from his illness. And let us pray for his well-being and complete recovery.
Our Old Testament lesson is, then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Now Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain a tiller of the ground. Cain said to his brother Abel, let us go out to the field. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord God said to him, not so. If anyone slays Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who came upon him should kill him. Then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Our New Testament lesson is, then if anyone says to you, lo, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Lo, I have told you beforehand. So if they say to you, lo, he is in the wilderness, do not go out. If they say, lo, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever the body is, there the vultures will be gathered together. May the Lord add his blessings on the portion of the scriptures that has been just now read. May we pray. O God, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable, glorious in holiness, full of love and compassion, abundant in grace and truth, All thy works praise thee in all places of thy dominion. We have gathered here as grateful children of thine to worship thee, adore thee, magnify thee, glorify thee, extol thee, and acknowledge thy living and loving presence. We beseech thee, O great Jehovah, to lead and guide us and teach us as we learn to wait on thee. We confess that thou and thou alone art able to make all things new. Grant us the spirit of newness and freshness and calmness and quietness as we embark on a new academic year here at Southeastern. We commit to thy gracious care all the members, faculty, staff, and students and their families of Southeastern community, and especially the new students. We pray for these new students, their welfare, hopes, expectations, and positive experience during their pilgrimage here at this seminary. O Eternal Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh and anoint all of us. Help us to realize that thou art the head and we are the members of the body, and teach us to give thee preeminence in all that we think, plan, speak, and do. Help us to take up thy yoke upon us and learn from thee. Help us to take up our crosses and follow thee. Help us to live from the eternal perspective. Help us to conform to the image and beauty. Help us to commit ourselves for excellence in serving God and humanity. O source of wisdom, knowledge, intelligence, understanding, illumination, and inspiration, broaden our horizon and grant us global Christian vision. Help us to learn to participate as responsible stewards in the eternal plan of salvation. Challenge us that we may know the depth, the height, and the breadth of thy compassionate, loving, and gracious nature. Prepare us with inner strength for the awesome responsibility of ministerial life and existence. We bring this prayer to the throne of grace in the precious name of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Strength of my life, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom then shall I be afraid? Though an host of men were laid against afraid, and though there rose up war against me, yet will I put my trust in him. For in the time of shall hide me in his tabernacle, yea, in the secret places of his dwelling shall he hide me. And set me of rock, of stone. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom then shall I be afraid? Of whom then shall
the Bible tells the story of our lives. This is the reason Holy Scripture is so necessary and so dangerous, because the narrative is radically interpreted and changed by everyone who seeks the meaning and fulfillment of life in these sacred pages. Reading the Bible seriously can become a blessing or a curse, or a strange mixture of both. Without an adequate perspective from which to view the spectrum of its story and to enter into the journey it describes, a pilgrimage of beginnings and endings and everything in between. This week, life at Southeastern Seminary becomes another chapter in your story, your beginnings, your endings, and also much that is in between. The Bible dwells especially upon the in-between part of human existence. That in-between part so aptly described as being between a rock and a hard place, or in biblical language, between sin and grace, or as the title of an older but familiar popular song exclaims, "Don't mess with Mr. In-Between." The Bible paints the portrait of human existence with broad brushes and vivid hues of dazzling and terrifying brilliance. When our eyes are fully opened as Christians, we behold ourselves living east of Eden in the land of Nod and west of the cross in the kingdom of the Son of Man. We too are on the glory road, but it is the path of agony and ecstasy, defeat and victory, hate and love, ignorance and knowledge. In our quest for knowledge and insight, let us remember daily that we see in a mirror dimly and know in part. In our squinting to see more clearly how it is God would have us best positioned for the quest of knowledge here at Southeastern, let us picture ourselves as living east of Eden and west of the cross. Our quest for knowledge, especially knowledge of God and of ourselves here at Southeastern, is both a dangerous pursuit because we bear the mark of Cain, and a loving passion because we also bear the mark of our Lord Jesus Christ. A little knowledge is a dangerous thing. That is why we view sophomores at a distance, because we do not know what they're going to do next. The dangerous nature of human knowledge is God's primary concern with humanity, both before and after the fall, both in the Garden of Eden and in the land of Nod, east of Eden. The original sin, Augustine notwithstanding, was not concupiscence, unbridled sexual desire, but perverted knowledge. Knowledge too powerful and too destructive for humankind. Then the Lord God said, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. If humans still existed in a pristine Garden of Eden, the quest for knowledge would still be a problem. How much more now that we, like Cain, dwell east of Eden in the land of Nod, is knowledge a problem that affects every dimension of our lives and clouds every pathway we take? Knowledge will be a problem for every new as well as every returning student and professor during this semester. So you seek knowledge in the land of Wake Forest? Remember that you and I still bear the mark of Cain. Nevertheless, this mark is our protection against those who would enslave and destroy us. Then the Lord said to him, not so. If anyone slays Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who came upon him should kill him. Herein lies a warning to everyone who abuses those who bear the mark of Cain. The fall, theirs and ours, is missing the mark of true and genuine knowledge and replacing redeeming knowledge with destructive knowledge. We study on this campus most constructively when we are aware that our fallen minds are not yet fully redeemed by the wisdom of the Spirit or subject to the mind of Christ. But as we have traveled east of Eden in the land of Nod, we have come up to Jerusalem from the west of the cross. And herein is our joy and salvation, because we also bear the mark of the crucified one. To those who were harassing him, Paul said, henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. Let all teachers and students take heed that the mark of the crucified one is upon us. In Matthew, those who attempt to identify and to absolutize the Christ in time and space are labeled false Christ and false prophets. In relationship to the Son of Man, their destiny is fearfully described. Wherever the body is, there the vultures will be gathered together. With the beginning of this new academic year, we will be well served to remember that each of us bears both the mark of Cain and the mark of our Lord Jesus Christ. Herein is our dilemma in encountering the wisdom of the ages and our opportunity in seeking to appropriate that wisdom in relationship to the marvelous revelation of God's transforming and redeeming love in Christ Jesus. Seek wisdom and pursue it, but remember that we seek it east of Eden and west of the cross, rather than east of the cross and west of Eden. For this is the land of the mystery that permeates all knowledge. The full knowledge of the mystery is not to be found or reaffirmed on the campus of Southeastern Seminary. But in that house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, the new Eden to which we are destined in Christ Jesus, east of the cross and west of Eden as we know it, but a new heaven and a new earth as God knows it and gives it to us. And this mystery has been hinted at and pointed to and experienced proleptically through faith in Jesus Christ, but its full disclosure is yet to come. With all his learning and passion for the knowledge of God, Paul, along with Isaiah, knew when to desist and when to point to the eternal. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him, God has revealed to us through the Spirit. In our days here at Southeastern, let us follow Paul's admonition to the Thessalonians in the earliest writing in the New Testament. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophesying, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. And also let us follow his exhortation to the Philippians. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Let us go now to the study, to the library. And when our eyes get red and we grow drowsy and weary, let us arise and wash our faces. And let us not be surprised when the mirror discloses on our foreheads both marks, the mark of Cain and the mark of Jesus. For we are dwelling in the land east of Eden and west of the cross. May we pray. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen.